is The Drive. The Drive with Drive. Call 334-321-3rd-COM. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-3rd-COM. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. We will check in momentarily with the voice of the Auburn Tigers. Andy Burcham is getting ready for... I guess he's getting ready for baseball. He just texted me and said everything is good for tonight. Everything's good at his normal time. So we'll talk with the voice of the Tigers as Auburn and Alabama State in baseball tonight, and then possibly Auburn and Alabama State in basketball on Thursday. Alabama State playing St. Francis in about an hour and a half. To determine who will take on Auburn. So Andy says he's ready. Drew, if you want to go ahead and just give him a call, we will we'll check in with Andy Burcham here at the top of the show today. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Love this week, as we were talking about earlier. I mean, the excitement building up to. I mean, you have college basketball games that matter tonight to thin the field. We go from 68 to 66 tonight, right? Then there's two more games tomorrow. To get to 64 in time for Thursday morning, and then Auburn's opponents starting the tournament on Thursday morning, or potentially Auburn's opponents. You can't get it even as the number one overall team.
You can't say it's never happened that a one seed has lost.
It's happened twice in the last couple of seasons, this mythical thing nobody ever thought. So you want to be careful. But in Auburn's pod, in Auburn's four-team pod, where three teams will be eliminated before the end of action on Saturday, Auburn's, the two teams on the other side, Louisville and Creighton, they'll get things started on Thursday morning, and then Auburn next up against an opponent that will be determined tonight in the first four action. I didn't get into this yesterday, Bill, and I think that our guest is gonna side with us. I think he's right there with us. I don't want to speak for him, but I can't stand the existence of the two play-in games for the 16 seeds. I think it kind of robs two teams that earned their way into March Madness of a chance to actually take part in full-blown March Madness against a one seed. I kind of wish, if the field has to be 68, I wish those last four games...
I think automatic qualifiers should be in the field of 64.
Yeah, I think if the field has to be 68, then all four of these games should be with bubble teams. But that's not the way they do it, and major conferences would not agree to something like that because they want as many of their teams in the round of 64 as possible, but it is a chance for a couple of smaller conference teams to take center stage, including one from nearby, Alabama State, in action to potentially be Auburn's opponent on Thursday. But no, I wish they didn't have to jump through this extra hoop to make it to the round of 64. These smaller conference teams.
No, I'm with you 100%. Let's get to the Drive hotline and welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here on this Tuesday. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I am doing well, and I sort of agree with you and then don't agree with you.
All right.
Because my guess is that given the choice, Alabama State and St. Francis would rather be playing in this game tonight than not be playing at all or in the NIT. I think these games are underrated, quite frankly. I think these are NCAA tournament games, and we have seen, not very often, but we have seen teams from these games
UCLA
and go deep in the NCAA tournament. Now, it all may become moot anyway if they truly expand the NCAA tournament field. How they do that, I do not know. I don't know what that structure looks like at this point. But we have seen some pretty good games out of this Dayton game. And I'm guessing North Carolina is thrilled to be playing at all right now.
Well, they should be.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just my thought.
No, I love hearing what you think about that, and I don't want to sell the importance of these games short, because you're right, they're absolutely NCAA tournament games, and a couple of these, these teams will be playing. What you usually get in Dayton is teams playing for their lives, right? And I wouldn't expect anything else tonight, especially with I don't believe, has Auburn ever played
in a play-in one of these games?
Against the winner of a play-in before? I think that's a new thing for Auburn in the NCAA tournament.
That's true. And when Auburn was an NCAA number one seed back in, 99?
Yes.
I don't know if they had this. Did they have this game at that point?
No, they didn't. I think it was just a 64-team field then.
Right. So, this will be a first. And, for those guys, for whoever wins this game tonight between Alabama State and St. Francis, I think I read somewhere they, from Alabama State, they bust to Dayton. So I'm guessing that after that game, if they win tonight, they're busing down to Lexington from Dayton, Ohio. I'm not sure, but I thought I read that somewhere. They put a great run together. They're in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2011. It's been longer for St. Francis, which is even more of a surprise, because St. Francis is a team that still has a losing record, but put it together at the end of the season to win the NEC championship. So, you know what? This is a huge game for those two teams. And right now, we just got to the team hotel about 45 minutes ago, and Auburn will be watching that game and has the luxury then of getting ready throughout tomorrow for its first round NCAA tournament game pretty early, as it turns out, on Thursday afternoon at 1:50. Our coverage on Wings 94.3 begins at 1:30, and here's why. We just don't believe that Creighton-Louisville game will be 2 hours long. None of these games have been that long. And I just think that we're going to get a full pregame and maybe some additional bonus minutes out of our pregame on the CBNS Bank countdown to tip off on Thursday.
You know, Andy, I hadn't really thought about this, but while we were just getting going, it is a situation where Auburn, as the number one overall seed, has less time to prepare for its opponent than the other number ones. Well, than two of the other number ones do, because they're playing that winner of that game. It shouldn't. You would think it shouldn't matter. They should be much, more talented than the team they're playing. But it is a little odd, isn't it?
It is, but I guess that's the way it's set up for the overall number one seed. We have been told all along that if Auburn is that overall number one seed, it would play in Lexington and it would play on Thursday. So I guess that's the way it's set up right now. And that's part of being the national number one seed. It's all uncharted territory for the Auburn Tigers right now. Hopefully this becomes a habit.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting, Andy, that that's one thing. I wasn't sure if you were there with the team if you were in town. But really good chance that Auburn and Alabama State are going to be pretty familiar with each other athletics-wise here after the next few days, because we've got Auburn-Alabama State baseball coming up tonight. How odd is that?
Yeah, I don't ever recall that happening, where in this situation, baseball or softball played a team, and then perhaps a day or two later, one of Auburn's basketball teams played a school or played a team from the same school. And that's quite possible. In folks that I've talked to, a lot of folks expect Alabama State to win this game.
Yeah, Alabama State's about a 3 or 4 point favorite. Yeah. And then the Auburn baseball team's going to follow you guys up to Lexington.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't it odd how things work at times? Alabama State is a bigger team. Because I'm prepping for both of these teams right now. We don't know. Obviously, I don't have the stats for whomever Auburn plays. But St. Francis is biggest big is 6'8". Alabama State is bigger on the inside. I think Alabama State's guards are bigger and better on the perimeter. So I won't be at all shocked that if this is not the first of two games against Alabama State baseball tonight, and then basketball on Thursday. And then, Bill, as you mentioned, baseball is here in Lexington, and my plan right now is Auburn wins that first game on Thursday, and then I do baseball on Friday.
Wow, that's cool.
Baseball, yeah. And then do basketball on Saturday.
Oh, man. They couldn't have done it better for you then. That's great.
I've just got to find a ride to the ballpark, the brand new ballpark there.
I've got a feeling that there are going to be enough Auburn folks in town that somebody would somebody'd help you out.
I'll just thumb my way out there. I'll figure it out though.
Oh man,
Andy, it's Auburn, the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history, despite losing three of its last four games. Bruce Pearl, I would even go so far as to say sort of dismissed. Too many concerns about the way Auburn played down the stretch by pointing out that it was against three teams the caliber of Texas A&M, Alabama, and Tennessee, who are, as we pointed out, three of the top. We found out they're three of the top
13 national 13 seeds
on the board. I am curious. You're someone who has watched every minute of this team this season. Is there anything you've seen down the stretch, and any flaws that you, and again, pointing out it's the number one overall team in the tournament, but anything you've seen that's too concerning?
The one, and I don't know if I'm going to put concerning on it. I'll put it this way. The one thing I think Auburn has to be better at starting Thursday is its rebounding.
Yep.
Teams have been able to hit the glass and have out-rebounded. Heck, even the Auburn win against
Kentucky
here at Rupp, mm-hmm. Kentucky out-rebounded Auburn. It really didn't matter in the course of that game. It sure mattered at Texas A&M, and it mattered down the stretch against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it mattered a bit in the Tennessee ball game at the SEC tournament. That's the one that I'm not going to say it's a flaw, but I think Auburn needs to be better. And Bruce Pearl has said that. In the fact that he has, and I don't think he's dismissed any of these losses, because we're about to see that kind of caliber every time Auburn plays for the rest of this season. And I'm praying that it ends in San Antonio Tech. I've never been to San Antonio. I'm told it's a great town. I want to experience it. But Auburn needs to be better on the boards. In my opinion, and Bruce Pearl has certainly said the same thing about this ball club right now.
If there were something else, and it's not something that has been a consistent concern, but right now Auburn doesn't have multiple players that are really on a roll shooting the ball. It's been a struggle for Miles the last couple of games. Tahad struggled in the SEC tournament. So, I mean, it would be good to take that pressure off Janai, right. to have the guys be able to hit from the outside, and along with the rebounding, man, Chaney appears to, I don't know if he's lost his confidence there inside, but he's struggled more around the rim than we'd seen, all year long the last few games.
I think there's a lot of guys that need to step up and play like the Miles Kelly that we saw, the Tahad Pettiford that we've seen so many times on. I mean, think about the game that those two guys had in Auburn's win at Rupp Arena the last time played here, just a few short weeks ago. I mean, Tahad Pettiford played the entire second half of point guard because that's the game that Denver had the injured ankle. And Tahad played the entire second half and was terrific and didn't turn the ball over. And Miles shot lights out. His career high at Auburn, his Auburn high of 30 points, was that day. He told me he likes the rims here at Rupp Arena. I hope they haven't done anything to those rims since that ball game. And yeah, Chaney Johnson. We need to see the Chaney Johnson that we saw in the second half at Vanderbilt, where he was just absolutely unstoppable. Dylan Cardwell needs to stay out of foul trouble. That is a big factor for Auburn. And Auburn as a team needs to stay out of foul trouble. I mean, Tennessee was in the bonus in the second half of a game that Auburn lost by 5 points. Tennessee was in the bonus, 13:57 mark of the second half.
And they were in the double bonus at around the 10 minute, you know, before the 10 minute.
Right. There's a Chad foul in particular, not to single him out, but there's because there were a couple different instances of this where it's a long way from the basket, right? And he's trying to go for the steal after a rebound, and it's like those add up, and suddenly a team's, like you said, suddenly a team's in the bonus. Suddenly individuals are in foul trouble, and a team's in the bonus with 10, 12 minutes to go in the half.
And they're shooting lights out from the free throw line, too.
Right.
You know, it's not just guys in foul trouble. It's also that team only misses two free throws all day and shoots, what, 27 in the ball game. So, I mean, all of that adds up against Auburn in a game like that. And listen, I mean, Auburn will be the prohibitive favorite Thursday, whomever it plays.
Mm-hmm.
However, Auburn was a prohibitive favorite a year ago against Yale.
Yes, they were.
In Spokane, Washington. And I guarantee you that is not lost on this ball club and certainly this coaching staff as Auburn gets ready to play on Thursday afternoon at 1:50.
No, there are way too many people who went through that last year for that to slide. So, no, I agree with you 100%. Andy, got to get some thoughts on baseball. Huge, dramatic win for Auburn to win the series against Vandy on Sunday.
Well, and let me say this real quick. Brad's call of Cade Ballou's home run is an absolute classic. It is an absolute classic of such an emotional part of this season so far for Auburn. I mean, two strikes and two outs with the series on the line at that point, and just an absolute no-doubter off the bat. It's one of those where you don't worry, does it have enough to get out of the ball? Well, it may have had enough to get to the dorm out there. That's how far it was hit. And Brad did a fabulous job with that call. He and Jason will have the call tonight of Auburn and Alabama State, 5:45, the broadcast on Wings 94.3. But listen, you win that series against a team that's in the top 15 in the first weekend of SEC play, and that's an even, I can't tell you how big that is for this team. And now you're on the road for two straight weeks. You're going to a team in Kentucky, or here to a team in Kentucky that was in the World Series a year ago, and in spite of the fact that Tennessee won the national championship last year, Kentucky was the best team week in and week out in SEC regular season play. And then you go to Georgia, which is a team that's in the top five right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, getting that win at home was very, very big for a really young Auburn team. And it was a weekend where you did not have Ike Irish and won't have him again this weekend, from what I gather. Your shortstop had a couple hits. Cooper McMurray had three hits. It was guys like sophomore Cade Ballou and Bub Terrell and Chase Frelick and Lucas Steele, young guys, and Rembert, young guys. And then look what they did on the mound for Auburn on Friday and Sunday. So in so many ways, that was a big, big win. And you know what? Now you got to move on. You got to continue that play at this point. And it just gets tougher. Alabama State beat Auburn a year ago.
That's right.
Alabama State won its opening SWAC series. So they have no trouble coming to Plainsman Park tonight for that game. And then you've got back-to-back road weekends. And with a new Presidio road game next Tuesday, because Auburn goes to Montgomery to play South Alabama. So you're on the road now. Starting Friday, you're on the road for seven straight games.
And we mentioned last year, you know, the way the conference play started for the Auburn baseball team, it was pivotal to compete in some of these early series and to win the series against Vanderbilt, one of those teams that you faced down last year. Like, I think this is a you avoided a here we go again sort of feeling, Andy, and that's crucial for this. For this baseball team as they try to collect SEC victories.
Even in Auburn's loss on Saturday, Auburn had the tying run on base in both the eighth and the ninth innings. After Vandy had that huge five-run inning and looked like it was trying to put that game away. Well, Auburn came back and had a chance in that ball game. And although Auburn lost that game, I think that was a signal that this is a different Auburn ball club. I'm not saying it's coming here to Kentucky to win the series or sweep the series or anything like that. I just think this is a different Auburn ball club than a year ago. It's so interesting how, and really, guys, I mean, at this point, did we really believe that these young freshmen and these newcomers would be contributing to this level that they are right now? I'm not sure I did. We all hoped it would become that, but this team is getting key play from freshmen and newcomers game in and game out, in addition to the Cooper McMurrays and the Ike Irishes and
Derek Fabian and
those
Blue
guys
and,
of the world as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked with Derek yesterday, and Derek's going to be our regular Monday guest on Tiger Takes.
And I think he'll do a great job.
He really did. Yeah. But I mean, just on and on about the young guys and how this team, the chemistry on this team, I think is it's one of those that you don't see every year. I like the chemistry of this team, and that was a big win big series win.
I asked him last week, before the Vandy series, about leadership, because he's one of the he's one of the legacy captains on this team in his second year at Auburn. And he said, you know, in year one, you kind of have to navigate that. It's tough to come in and become that leader in your first year on a ball club that had a lot of veterans and leaders from a year ago. He said it was much more natural for him to become that leader with this ball club this year. And he has played very well for Auburn. He is that guy. He is your shortstop. There's no question about that right now. And as Auburn continues to get healthy, and hopefully for Ike Irish that is quick, I mean, we may see Connor Gatwood tonight, a guy that, you know, coming out of the draft, the folks were as excited about Gatwood being on this Auburn team as anybody. And he may get his first college action in this game tonight. So we're not done. We're not done with these young guys.
Not at all. And should be a beautiful evening for it over at Plainsman Park. I'm sure folks will be watching the basketball as well, keeping up with basketball while they're watching baseball. But yeah, it is a great time. Great time of year. We've talked about it. I mean, we're about to have spring football added to it, but I mean, Auburn doing so well in so many sports, and it's keeping you guys busy as well. Andy, let everybody know what is all on tap for the Auburn Sports Network.
Well, Auburn baseball tonight, the Tigers and Alabama State at Plainsman Park. Brad and JC, Jason Caldwell with the call at 5:45 over on Wings 94.3. We will have a Tiger Talk tomorrow night, a pre-recorded version of Tiger Talk. You'll hear from Butch Thompson. You'll hear from Chris Malvo. You'll hear from Bruce Pearl. You'll hear from Dylan Cardwell. You'll hear from Miles Kelly. And you'll hear from Jeff Grable. All in Tiger Talk tomorrow night at 6 on Wings 94.3. Thursday, of course, it's Auburn basketball in the first round of the NCAA tournament against either St. Francis or Alabama State from here in Lexington at Rupp Arena. Our call begins at 1:30 with the CBNS Bank countdown to tip-off. Mm-hmm. The game right now will start no earlier than 1:50. I'll be shocked if it starts at that time just because of the game that is going to be played before that. So, but we're on the air at 1:30 Friday. Auburn and Kentucky at 5 o'clock Central, 4:45 the broadcast. I'll have the call with Brad on Friday. And then we have no idea if Auburn wins that game Thursday. I think it will. What time Auburn would play either Creighton or Louisville on Saturday. That is to be determined by television.
Right. Aren't you guessing it would make more sense for it to be an earlier than a later game? Because it wouldn't be fair for teams, it seems like, that played late games to have to turn around and play early on Saturday, but who knows?
I have no idea. I remember Auburn played last year and won the SEC tournament and then had to fly to Spokane, Washington and play the second game in Spokane on Thursday a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make more sense for the teams playing on Tuesday night to play late games on Thursday.
But they play early. That's
but in,
right.
But in fact, the winner of tonight's game is going to play Auburn pretty early in the day on Thursday.
Exactly. That's exactly right, and have to make the trip however they get there from Dayton to Lexington.
Yep.
Alabama
State's got the bus. That's what you said, right? Alabama State's already got the bus.
I thought I read that. I can't confirm that. Maybe they're. Listen, the NCAA may furnish the plane. They do furnish the plane.
They do.
So now that I say that.
Yeah, I thought they covered transportation. Sure. I was thinking, well, maybe they could pocket the difference in the plane fare and the bus.
Although, you know, from Dayton to Lexington's probably not that bad of a bus ride if you have to do that after a game.
Yeah,
right?
but if somebody's covering your plane,
That's true. You'll take the plane.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I would agree with you there, and especially if you're playing 2 days later.
That's exactly right. Andy, I hope you have a long and enjoyable stay in Lexington.
I do too, Bill. I want to see this team advance out of Lexington and make it to Atlanta and get ready for the Sweet 16. It would be Auburn's first ever trip to the Sweet 16 since that group in 19 that went on to make it to the Final mm-hmm. Four. So it's going to be an exciting weekend here in Lexington for Auburn. With baseball in town, basketball in town, a lot of Auburn people. There's going to be a lot of orange and blue here. There's going to be some Tennessee orange here as well. Tennessee is part of this, not Auburn's side of the draw, but of course they'll move on and head somewhere else. But listen, I enjoy every game I get to call, regardless if it's an exhibition game, regardless if it's a September non-conference, you know, football game or whatever. But this is the special time now. Mm-hmm. This is the special time where you get to go to you're in a tournament and you're prepping and you get a day off in between games and you're prepping for that next game and hope you're trying to make plans for that next couple rounds of the tournament. You hope that it ends up in San Antonio, Texas. This team has the talent, I truly believe, to make it to San Antonio. But a lot of good things have to happen for Auburn, and it starts on Thursday.
Well, again, Andy, we really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Best of luck to you and the team, and we'll be listening.
Guys, I certainly appreciate it. Have a great one. War Eagle!
The voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here as we get things underway on the Tuesday drive. Yeah, we went longer. That's all right. I mean, there's plenty to be talking about with Andy and getting Andy's thoughts on everything.
It's
going
a big
on.
Week too. Oh, we'll man, go along with Andy is. On a big week.
Oh, no doubt. All right, we'll
come see me if you got a problem with it.
Yeah, that's right. See Dan. We'll get to our first break. We'll open up the phone lines 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We're right back. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
At ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Our thanks to the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us for that first segment. A long segment as Andy already up in Lexington getting ready for Thursday afternoon's action. As he mentioned, there's pretty good possibility, Dan. I mean, Alabama State about 3.5-point favorite over St. Francis in that ball game that gets underway in just a little over an hour tonight.
That's right. And then is Carolina San Diego State the other?
Yeah, and Drew was just pointing something out. And this is, you know, Andy mentioned it. Last year, you know, now the NCAA, it's not their fault if your conference tournament, you know, ends on Sunday. Some conferences end their tournaments earlier. You know, last year Auburn wins the SEC tournament, had to turn around, you know, fly cross country and then play early. Well, we were talking about speculating what time if Auburn wins Thursday, what time they'd play Saturday. And yes, it would make sense, but NCAA in sense doesn't always line up because you've got a situation that, as Andy pointed out, you know, Alabama State's playing tonight, And they're going to have to turn around and play at one. I mean, the winner, Alabama State or St. Francis, the winner's going to have to play at 1:50 on Thursday afternoon. So you talk about not much time at all for these teams playing. But then North Carolina, that team that most people don't even feel should be in the NCAA tournament, they've got that matchup tonight with UC San Diego, right? San Diego State.
Yeah, no, UC San Diego is, and UC San Diego is sort of some, you know, they're a darling.
That's why I said
they're the 12. Like, they're the 12 that would play Auburn if both teams won two games in the NCAA tournament. They're Michigan's matchup in the first round. I saw that John Fanta's a prominent college basketball analyst for Fox. He's got UC San Diego, he's got UC San Diego as his Cinderella getting. He's got three ones in his Final Four, Bill, and he's got UC San Diego bouncing Auburn in the Sweet 16. That was his variation on it. A lot of Florida out there as far as sort of national projections of who could win it all. Not that people there are Auburn people.
They should
Auburn.
Be the way they play. And for sure, they play down the street.
There are people taking Auburn. There are people taking Duke. Obviously,
well,
I think
people taking Houston as well.
I think Cooper Flagg's health is limiting some of the optimism about whether or not Duke can make a run all the way through the tournament. I would say if you told me Cooper Flagg wasn't coming back, I would be
Duke's not going
to
be there.
I'm not sure they're going to the Final Four. I'm not sure they're winning this region without Cooper Flagg. Although Grant Nelson's health in Alabama would play a role in that
very
too,
well could.
Because that's the two seed in Duke's region. I have this weird feeling, and I could end up being wrong because I've liked Vanderbilt all year. I think St. Mary's is going to give Alabama a game in round two. If St. Mary's and Alabama are playing in that second round,
Vandy has struggled a little. You know, coming down the home stretch. I don't know how much more they have left, but I think St. Mary's could. But back to what I was trying to get around to, the fact North Carolina, San Diego State play tonight.
Sure.
And then the winner doesn't play till Friday.
Yeah.
So that's where I didn't even look at that. I assumed that the teams playing Tuesday would play Thursday and the teams playing Wednesday would play Friday. So does that mean somebody playing tomorrow plays Thursday?
No, I think both of the play-in game winners from when. Yeah, the way things shook out, the play-in game tonight doesn't play until Friday. Yeah.
Well, it feels like the whole tournament was screwed up by North Carolina getting in. It just seems like that just messed up a lot of the way things should be.
And we'll see if San Diego State wins tonight. You know,
they may not, and North Carolina may win a couple of ball games. That still doesn't justify them being in.
No, I don't. I mean, I think it wouldn't change how people feel about the resume. You know, whether or not that was. I mean, you know, once you get into the tournament, it's a different sort of thing. Although, like we were saying yesterday, I'm sure people are going to point to if teams from the SEC fail to get out of the first round in large numbers, people will say that proves that the SEC, and it's like, well, no, the SEC in the regular season, like
the SEC in the regular season proved they were the best conference.
Yeah, like all, I mean,
and not even close.
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, Texas, I think, is the SEC team you could quibble with the most as far as being in, and Jay Billis makes this point a lot, especially post expansion of the field, where once you're talking about the end of the bubble and the best teams that didn't get in, you're talking about flawed resumes across the board.
Right.
Right? Like there are reasons not to include, and good reasons not to include a lot of these teams when you're talking about the end. And so that's where sort of the indignation over, well, North Carolina shouldn't have gotten in, or Texas shouldn't have gotten in, or West Virginia or Indiana. It's like there are flaws on all of these resumes that make it. Now, again, not to say that it doesn't matter who gets in and who doesn't at the end of the bubble, but it is curious how much of the energy focused on this bracket is focused on North Carolina and that one play-in game featuring the
they are the one team. You know, it seems like every year they're usually a couple of teams. This year it's all Carolina.
Yeah.
It's all their fault. They're the team that shouldn't be there. I mean, a lot of times this one probably shouldn't or others should. This year it's North Carolina, West Virginia. Those are the teams that everyone feels, you know, they should have been, their roles should have been reversed.
Are there some SEC teams you don't feel good about advancing very far in this tournament? I mean, you're looking, and obviously
there's some teams on the 8-9 line
that probably
aren't very good for Vandy. No.
Yeah, Vanderbilt draws St. John's in round one and likely plays Alabama.
Georgia's got Gonzaga.
Yeah, and you know that, and that's
start.
Not to downplay, because Louisville is ranked 10 in the AP poll, and the fact that Auburn could play Louisville in round two is pretty wild. You know, it's rare for two teams ranked
top 10 matchup in round two.
Unprecedented, but rare.
It's been a while.
It's been 20 years or so. Yeah. But apparently, this happened with there was either Pitt or Wisconsin was ranked on the 8-9 line and as a top 10 team, or maybe it was in a 2-7 game. Where it was like in the round of 32, you had two teams that were in the AP top 10 playing each other because the committee had underrated one of them pretty substantially. But it's I think there are big names across the 8-9 line, right?
We talked about it yesterday with UConn, Gonzaga.
Yeah, I think Duke maybe caught a bit of a break because they're playing the winner of the Baylor Mississippi State game compared to the other ones.
I think
you have the potential if Houston, and again assuming the favorites win here, Houston, Gonzaga, Florida, UConn, Auburn, and Auburn, Louisville. Like there are some. Mm-hmm. There are some big games in the round of 32, some real tests for the one seed, and I think that was it feels a little deliberate by the committee to get some early tests, but we'll see how that works out in the bracket.
Again, we'd love for you to jump in with us. Let us know, is there a dark horse or two? Who is your lower seed that you have pulling an upset or two? And who is your higher seed that you think could be in trouble, during the first weekend? We'll get to our next break. Again, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Remember when you would dream about what you would...
On The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the... studio with Drew at the controls. It's Tuesday, so that means we'll be checking in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company at the bottom of hour number two. So looking forward to talking to Jake, getting his thoughts here on the NCAA tournament. Again, anything that you'd like to talk about sports-wise, we're wide open here on the Tuesday Drive. As we fill our brackets out, I haven't yet. I've got some thoughts on most of the ball games here in the first round, but I haven't. Usually, the more I think about it, the worse I get picking. Anyway, I'm much better usually just going through and just knocking it out without thinking. The more I think and start going into real, more in depth matchups and things like that, I generally outsmart myself.
Sure, and I understand also like focusing primarily on what Auburn's up to in this tournament. You know, I think that when you're not as focused on a team that's actually in the draw, right? Like it becomes a little bit easier to talk about, you know, big picture stuff. But I think it's a really interesting field. I think we're poised to get some really good basketball on Thursday and Friday, two of the best days of the year if you're a basketball fan, a sports fan. As you get action nonstop.
334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and TP is up first. What's up, TP?
Hey, War Eagle guys. What an exciting time of year we've got right now. And One question I've got, though, is I'll be traveling for Auburn's game on Thursday, and I know there's some problems with streaming, but will I be able to stream the Wings local radio station and be able to hear the game?
So if you'll be able to listen to Wings 94.3, but if you're trying to stream if you want to stream the game on the internet, as I understand it, you're going to need there's an app called Varsity Network, and they would have the Westwood One call of the game on streaming if you want to listen to it. If you want to listen to Andy's call, you have to be listening to an actual radio station.
Okay, so I can't. Okay, that
sounds
good.
Yeah, you'll need to listen to the stream of the radio station. You have to listen to the live broadcast of the station. Right.
You said the Varsity app?
Yeah, Varsity Network is the name of the app, and they have it's a cool little app actually. They have a lot of the radio calls of college basketball, women's basketball, baseball games, football too. It's free. You have to watch a little ad before you check into a stream. But they should have they'll have whoever Westwood One has on the internet on the streaming call.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. The other thing is, Pearl has set this thing up so that our schedule early on involved those highly ranked teams, so that when we got to this point, that we were in a position to be a number one, the number one seed, or at least a highly ranked if we had not quite gotten there. So I think he deserves, of course, some credit for planning that out. And the team beat those other teams, and it's so hard in the beginning of your season when you're not quite in sync. But this team is very mature. And the last thing I want to say, and I'll say goodbye after that, don't you think Pearl is happy? Not happy that we've lost in the way that we've lost, but now that he's at this position, that we're kind of underdogs, that we sort of stumbled a little bit. Nobody's overconfident, and the coaches can just really put that chip on their shoulder. And so I just think we're in a really good position right now. Of course, we need to rebound better. We shoot fouls better. And if Miles Kelly catches fire, that's what I've been looking forward to all season. Mm-hmm. When he gets into this tournament, his last tournament, that he catches fire and just lights it up. And we've got a couple of games where, because he's on, that we just can play our game and finish out and get ready for the next game.
Yeah, and remember, as Andy said a little while ago, I mean, Miles raved about the rims at Rupp when he went up there and scored 30 against Kentucky. So you hope that is the case. But I don't disagree with you at all that Bruce likes to be in a position where he feels like, people aren't giving his team enough respect, or he can play the underdog. It's tough to play underdog when you have been the overwhelming number one team all year, but there aren't that many people that are picking Auburn right now. I mean, there's some, but they're not the surefire favorite, and more people are looking for ways to tell you how Auburn will not make it, and that's something Bruce is the master of motivation.
Yeah, I think he's got his team's attention. I think there's no question about that after losing 3 of 4 to finish the season and conclude the SEC tournament. And if overconfidence was going to be a problem going into the NCAA tournament, I think the last couple of weeks has changed that.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't think that, like, if Auburn plays poorly in one of these games, you're not going to think it's going to be because they came in supremely confident and taking their opposition lightly. Great stuff, TP. We're up against a break.
Yep. Appreciate the call. We will get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final couple of minutes of hour number one here on this nice looking Tuesday. A little more pollen. Maybe that's I've got something going on here that driving the guys crazy. I'm not. It's not anything contagious. I can promise you that. It's just like my eye. I've got one eye that's itching like crazy. So
he's working through it though. He's yeah. This is
and
not.
I've gone splash water in it.
You should not have to take a stint on the IL, right? Like you should be able
is that
to
the EYL.
Yeah,
the EYEL.
Yeah, the, you know. Well, I want to call it the DL so bad.
It was forever.
It's not the DL. It's
well, and I understand that it is the IL.
Yeah. So it's
unable to perform.
Yeah. So anyways, Bill's staying off it. Bill should be able to play. Hey, little Major League Baseball today.
The season started today overseas.
That's right. A couple of games in Japan that do count towards the regular season record. Dodgers picking up the win with Yammers, Yamamoto.
I was wondering when you said you watched a little of it, I thought, man, did you pull an all-nighter?
I was thinking about it.
Dan up at 6 a.m.?
I was thinking about
no
it.
No way.
I was thinking about it. Well, maybe. You know, sometimes during – just not – I mean, I'll be up at 6, but I probably won't be up at like 7. You know what I mean?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I can make it for a little while, but no, it's great to have the Major League Baseball season back, and like we were just talking with Andy, exciting time in the college baseball season too, with conference play getting rolling.
Yep, Auburn off to a 2-1 start in conference. They have non-conference matchup against Alabama State tonight before they head to Lexington to join the basketball team up there. Hey, Brett, we've got the top of the hour break coming up right now. Hang on. You'll be up first in hour number 2 of the Tuesday Drive.
AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number 2 of the Tuesday Drive. The second hour of the show brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we're going to jump right to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Brett has been hanging on since just before the top of the hour. Hey, Brett. Hey, Brett.
Brett, you there? All right. Well, you know, we'll see. You know, I'll tell you what. And then see. Yeah, Brett. Hopefully, Brett will call us back.
I figured he might call in to chime in on your Dodgers.
Well, you know, Brett also knows quite a bit about basketball.
Oh, so I know he knows. I know he does. But I mean, I just figured
knowing Brett,
the defending world champs, you know, winning in their season opener overseas. I thought he'd probably want to talk a little about that.
Yeah, nice start to the season for the for the Dodgers. Should be an exciting season of baseball, I think, for the teams that are positioned to win right now in the National League. There are a couple of them, and it should be a real exciting year for some of the other teams in the National League. Could be a really long season, but for some of those teams at the top, could be a lot of fun.
And we do have Brett, I believe, with us now. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, man.
Dan, things are looking good again for the Dodgers, aren't they?
Oh, I think so. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Yammers has a huge second season in Major League Baseball, and battled through some injuries last year, but had great stuff when he was able to go. And they've plus Sasaki, plus Otani's going to pitch again. Plus, Blake Snell. I think there's every reason to think this should be a promising year for those guys out there.
Need to get Mookie Betts healthy. And I saw where he lost a lot of weight with whatever that stomach virus he had.
Yeah, don't like hearing that. I'm sure being overseas with that is no fun at all.
Yeah.
Too. Like that's something you probably want to be dealing with in the privacy of your own home, and instead Mookie, battling through something pretty gnarly, hopefully he's okay.
Yeah. Hey, with the deal they're doing with spring training, I believe y'all said they're having, and I believe I read they're having 12 real practices.
Right.
Is that not surprising y'all? Since but I would think we've got a lot of guys on the defensive line and sure linebackers who need the practice.
Well, you got a lot of new faces. That's maybe the most surprising thing to me with 35 new players. But I think Coach Freeze really likes the fact that they're able to use this time as far as to work out and then in meetings. I think he feels like he's got enough guys that understand college football if they haven't been at Auburn. A lot of guys that have played college football that he doesn't need to have as much contact this spring. I mean, we'll see how that works out, but you look around and there are a lot of places that are cutting back and would rather go through, you know, like OTAs than the typical spring practice that everybody's been having for years.
Yeah, well, maybe he's gotten a wink and a nod for some defensive linemen and linebackers.
I hope so.
Who might come in the portal, but I would say those are two positions that you need to be in full pads to learn.
Yeah, they need more of them, though. You're right. They need more of them, and hopefully they've got more of them before this fall.
Yeah. All right. Y'all have a great evening.
Appreciate it, Brett. Yeah, it is. I mean, I was surprised when we saw not only that the first thing we heard was A-Day. A-Day is going to be April 12th. And then, you know, I was figuring back timing from there. I thought this week would be the start of spring practice. And then, no, it's actually going to be next Tuesday. So Auburn's got Pro Day on Monday, and they will start their spring practices on Tuesday. And I guess they're figuring through the three extra practices that they could, you'd only have 15. They're going to get 12 of them in, including the A-Day game. You know, sometimes I thought, you know, I wondered if maybe they'd come back and do something after. Because a lot of, I remember when Auburn's head coaches, Coach Dye and Tubbs, would occasionally have a practice after the A-Day game because they didn't feel like that was a way to finish up, you know, spring workouts.
And I seem to recall Coach Freeze also saying that he didn't mind a later start to spring practice because it gives the team more time with the off-season conditioning plan and more time with strength and conditioning.
Yeah, he wanted them to be as big and strong, as physical as possible before they got out there. It felt like if you start, the earlier you start, the less time you have for your real off-season program.
And I hadn't really thought about the timing of those two things, you know, in relationship to each other. We're always sort of thinking about starting spring practice, you know, and the spring game and how it relates to the summer and the fall. But no, I mean, that time between the end of the season and the start of spring practice is important too. And Coach Freeze was talking about why it mattered a lot for this group.
Yeah, no.
We'll talk more football, you know, as spring practice gets
here. We'll talk more next week. Hopefully we're still talking plenty of basketball next week.
It's true.
As well. But, I mean, spring practice next week, baseball, I mean, after the Kentucky series, they go to Athens next week.
We got the email, like, during the show, right, yesterday about some of the, about some of the timing for, you know, for Auburn,
right.
Auburn football stuff.
Yeah, that did. It came while, Brian was with us. And it's funny, we just... Maybe Kirk was listening, but I mean we're just talking about some of the possibilities, and boom, there it was. They're going to practice in the morning, so we'll have an opportunity with Coach Freeze following practice on Tuesday morning. Well, is that right? Yeah, viewing window at like 8:30. And then Coach Freeze at 10.
Well, Monday's got an unusual sort of deal, right? Because you got the pro day stuff going on in the morning,
and coaches, right? And assistants, assistant coaches.
You got assistant coaches and players midday on Monday. So we'll have. And again, I may be missing Monday, Bill, because of because of my WNIT obligations.
You still don't know exactly when.
No, I'll know Troy's opponent Saturday.
That's what I was wondering. So you won't know until after the game Saturday.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's necessarily official that the 16 teams that get byes are all going to host. Some of it depends on arena availability and
bids involved?
And I think maybe a bidding process. So I mean I think there's it's not settled. Troy's talking like they're gonna host their first game in the WNIT sometime next week. But yeah, I would think I'll know more. I'll know more soon. But yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about next week with Auburn hopefully still in the NCAA tournament and advancing to the Sweet 16 for the second time under Coach Pearl, and then also spring football getting started, and we'll have some coaches and players to talk to next week as well.
Fun time. We talked obviously a little more in hour number one about Auburn in the NCAA tournament. Again, we'd love to get your thoughts as everybody's getting their brackets finalized. If you've already done yours, let us know who some teams you like as long shots or lower seeds that you feel you know have a chance to pull upsets in weekend one of the NCAA tournament. I've seen quite a few games, and I guess just maybe the fact that there are 14 SEC teams, maybe that's why it seems like there are a lot of SEC teams involved in some of the picks for upsets the way.
Did we mention that Janai was a unanimous All-American?
No, we did not.
Selection day. Should mention that as well. Janai, one of two players, along with Cooper Flagg, unanimous first team picks for the AP men's college basketball All-America team, along with Mark Sears, Braden Smith, and Walter Clayton Jr. The other so Auburn played everyone on the you think about that, the other four teams, yeah, the other four
that,
guys
that is crazy
on the first team were all guys that Auburn played.
TP was talking about a while ago. I mean, the scheduling here, the fact that Auburn has played so many teams, I mean, a lot of the season. What, Auburn's four right now, but I mean, they played, more than half of the top 10, and they've it's not a huge shock that the best players on a lot of these best teams, Auburn's already seen.
All 61 of the voters who vote on the weekly AP poll are polled for the National Player of the Year award, or for the All American teams. Broom and Flag appeared on all 61 of the first five players listed for those ballots.
Mm. So congratulations to Jedi as the honors keep pouring in. There's no question it is and has been a two-man race for Player of the Year, National Player of the Year.
Walter Clayton Jr., the first-team All-American in the history of the University of Florida.
Is that right?
How about that? Florida had
Man,
never.
They've had NBA players.
Yeah. First.
Realize.
Noah was a second-teamer. Horford was a third-teamer in the second year of the Gators' championship run in 2007. Walter Clayton Jr., the first ever. Hard to believe, right? First ever first-team All-American in the history of the Florida Gators.
Yeah, when you have a team that won back-to-back NCAA titles under Billy Donovan,
and Mark,
you thought that somebody would have been a first-team All-American.
Mark Sears is Alabama's second first-team All-American ever after Brandon Miller 2 years ago. So Alabama's had two of them, both of them under Nate Oates in the last couple of years.
Wow. So that's, again, gives you a little idea of the dominance of the SEC, though. I mean, you look at the players in this league, look at the teams in this league and the coaches in this league. So that is amazing. But, yeah, I never would have guessed. I was trying to think of somebody that I might have thought from the Gators that had been a first-team All-American, but
Mike Miller,
yeah, maybe
had a huge run there in the Udonis Haslam, right? Would have been like guys that competed for at a really high level. Jason Williams, yeah, is a great choice. Absolutely, I mean, Florida had multiple Bradley Beal. I mean, some really good players came through the University of Florida, and for Clayton to be the first one. Also, Ziegler was a third team All-American, so the SEC not done getting players listed on the All-American teams. So it's a banner year for the SEC, and that includes three first-team All-Americans, including Janai Broome, and that also includes Zakai Ziegler getting included on the third team.
Wow. I was thinking way back for the Gators. I remember Neil Walk. He was a great player with a not great Gators team, but so that's interesting news today. Again, if you've got some upsets you think may be brewing, I see quite a few people that aren't aren't so sure that Missouri is going to be around for very long.
Yeah, Missouri.
A lot of folks like Drake and over Mizzou.
Missouri and Ole Miss. You know, Ole Miss is going to face the winner of the play-in game tonight between North Carolina and San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people pessimistic about Ole Miss's chances of making any sort of run in this tournament. Ultimately, I think a lack of size. Right, as you know, when you've got a fatal flaw, mm-hmm. like Ole Miss maybe has down low, that's going to be tough to overcome, and it might show up as early as the round of 64.
Yeah, so there will be some. You can count on it. There will be a couple of shockers.
I mean, A&M Yale is one folks are looking at because Yale was able to do what they did last year, and the thought that they could have another SEC team that really plays a fast-paced and aggressive, and Yale's a team that hits shots, right? I mean, if you're going to rebound,
if Yale can keep A&M somehow under control on the glass,
yeah,
then they've got a shot.
We'll see, and it's imperative to hit shots against A&M because you're probably not going to get a second shot at
right.
it, right? So I mean, it's vital to take good shots early on, and Yale is a team that takes. I mean, last year's team did a better job than just about anybody Auburn played of working to take great shots, passing up good shots to take great ones. Shot selection's important when you play Texas A&M. We'll see if Yale can make the Aggies pay. I mean, that matchup between Auburn and A&M, again, not to go too deep into the tournament because things can change. But that stood out, I think, on Selection Sunday, the possibility that if Auburn and A&M both make it.
Yeah, I think that was the first groan that came.
Was the realization that if Auburn makes it to the Sweet 16,
yeah.
they will play one of the three teams that beat them during this run down the stretch in the Texas A&M Aggies.
Yeah, there's that. Well, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, if they both advance to the Sweet 16, Auburn and A&M will. You know, they're on a collision course with one another. If that's the way it works out, couple SEC teams could play each other in the round of 32.
Or if they're not, I mean, the other one that they could be playing is they could play a former teammate in Trey Donaldson.
They could play a former teammate.
If they won the 4-5 matchup,
you're absolutely right. And they could play the big man that had a game Wolf.
Yes, that's
right. For Yale is also the big man down low for Michigan mm-hmm. this year. He was a big part of the victory. He was the guy everybody
he really was, and that went over Wisconsin.
Yeah, and he was a big part of the Yale win against Auburn last year.
Oh,
he was the guy. He was the guy battling down low with Janai last year for Yale. It would be a fascinating matchup to see Michigan in the Sweet 16 for Auburn because you're right. You have Trey Donaldson and you have somebody who's won a high profile matchup with the with Auburn in the past, and you have a coach in you have a coach who's taken that team in a fantastic first season, and he's got them already in the in the tournament, and he went to the Final Four at FAU.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. You can also text us on the Drive text box.
That's right, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. John, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and right back to The Drive hotline we go. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing fine.
As always, I'd like to thank my buddies over there at Sky Bar for sponsoring these calls. But when you brought up the name Neil Walk earlier,
uh-huh.
it reminded me, I used to have his card, basketball card.
So did I. That's crazy.
And Tom Borwinkle was a 7-footer, played in Tennessee, and
yes.
ended up playing for the Bulls, I believe. I had his card, too.
Yep.
And they had another connection besides me owning their cards. 6'4", on a good day, maybe 6'3", Auburn forward, Wally Tinker broke both of their noses in the same season.
Wow, I did not know that.
And Wally Tinker taught my brother Jim how to play basketball, so Jim was a little on the dirty side, too. So, but no, Wally Tinker broke both those big 7-footers in, and he had to pretty much jump up to hit him in the nose. But,
yeah.
And I think Wally also was the first person to score a goal in the Coliseum.
I think that's right.
I think they brought it
I remember the anniversary. I remember when they did the anniversary of it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he was a character. He coached at Auburn High for 1 year before he...
Oh, I didn't realize that.
He was, well, he is a B-team coach, I think, under Coach Chapman.
Hmm.
But, yeah, those days were pretty crazy with some of the characters we had playing. But they actually have some good talent, just never, you know. Well, back in those days, how many teams got to go to the NCAA? Only
16.
16, so yeah. But, well, man, you know, my brother Jim, this was his favorite weekend.
Oh,
the only time
I
he didn't work was the first 2 days of the tournament. He could be sick and he'd go to work the first 2 days of the tournament. He stayed at home, watched TV all day.
These pretty much were the holy days. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's always great listening to you and enjoying the show and War Eagle. And, let's try to play next week, too.
I hope so.
Stay alive.
Hear from you, John.
Appreciate it, John.
Take care.
See you.
334-321-1390.
You do a lot of BGs this week, right? You should
staying
be
staying alive.
You should be dancing. Night fever. Staying alive. You know, it's all trying to push to next weekend.
Back to the line we go, and another John. Hey, John.
Hey guys, enjoying the show. I was just wondering if you guys had heard any update on the potential women's basketball coach. I saw, I think, Mike G from the War Report reported, I think, three more players were transferring out. So the roster appears to be getting thinner by the day. So I was wondering if you guys had any sort of update on that.
Yeah, and I thought retaining the current roster was going to be a dicey proposition for the new coach no matter what, just because it felt like Coach J had played an outsized role in recruiting a lot of those players, and they'd come to play specifically for her. I have not heard anything as far as candidates or I know that Missouri made a hire today. Kelly Harper, the former Tennessee coach, is going to be the new head coach at Missouri.
She'd been an assistant under Joe here at Auburn.
I know folks. I know there's maybe the belief that Auburn could be targeting a coach currently in the NCAA tournament, in which case it would make sense why there hasn't been a lot of progress. Because if you're looking at somebody whose team is currently, and I know the Grand Canyon coach has been mentioned as a candidate at both Auburn and Arkansas as one just one name to toss out there that folks seem to be
Molly Miller.
That folks are thinking could be a possibility. And then there's also Sam Purcell's been named as a potential.
Although I think he has said he's not.
Yeah, he was the first name everybody thought of when the job opened up, because the AD that hired him at Mississippi State is now at Auburn and he has some ties to the program. But yeah, it sounds like he really wants to build something in Starkville with State. So I don't know where Auburn's going to turn.
Okay, interesting. Hopefully they make a hire, but if it's someone that's currently in the tournament, that's an excellent That's an excellent hire. And one other thing, guys, did you say baseball's in Athens next weekend?
Yes.
So if you're headed to Atlanta for the tournament, you have nothing to do on Saturday.
There you go. I mean, just back-to-back weekends. Hopefully fun weekends for both sports in the same area. Not quite as close as the baseball field is to Rupp, but I mean, still, it's not that far.
Excellent. Okay, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Good hearing from you, John. 334-321-1390. Nope, I haven't heard anything either. We were sort of talking about it with Brian Matthews yesterday in one of the commercial breaks, and there's not a lot of buzz about, you know, Auburn's next women's basketball coach right now.
Yeah, portal steadily filling up in women's basketball, men's basketball too.
Yep.
I mean, the portal officially opened up on Monday, but if your coach changed, you have had the option to enter the portal for quite some time since the change was announced at your school. And so, yeah, I would expect another just sign of the times, Bill. It's where we are now. I would expect thousands of players to make themselves available, and then the job of the coaches is to find out who fits your program,
who you can get, and the best group that you can assemble. I mean, because it's a shock actually if you don't have a head coach that players aren't testing, checking out the portal.
We used to wonder years and years ago, and I think we've had this argument lately. We used to wonder about like what pro sports would look like if all the players were under one year.
Everybody was a free agent every year.
If all the players were under 1 year contracts and it was just sort of open, there was an open bidding on both sides.
Now you know. Yeah. By looking at college.
You're exactly right. We're getting to see what that experiment looks like in college athletics, and especially college basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Feels so year to year. If you're playing well, then you probably want to talk about your position and mm-hmm. explore what your value could be elsewhere. If you're not playing well, maybe your coaches want to talk to you, right, about your position and the resources being utilized to keep you around. I think that's one of the things that's remarkable. Like Scott Cross at Troy, mm-hmm. it's basically the entire roster back from last year. Like he was able to retain I'm not saying Troy's like a non-factor, in NIL, but I don't think that's the driving factor behind why a lot of those guys chose Troy over other schools. And so it's cool to see that approach work. And work to the extent that they're in the NCAA tournament. And they're going to be playing a team where I think NIL played a lot to do with why a lot of those guys are...
Well, because Mark Pope had to pretty much get a whole new roster. Because when Kentucky and John Calipari parted ways, most of the players, like I said, I mean, it's not unusual. As a matter of fact, it's surprising that high-profile players are going to stick around not knowing who their next coach is going to be.
And at a program like Kentucky, you've got a lot of folks invested in that program staying on top and that program being able to attract and retain high-level talent. I just think it's if you're looking for a David and Goliath, right, in these first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament, I mean, you could say Auburn – like if Alabama State wins tonight – in a lot of ways, Auburn versus Alabama State is representative of a David versus Goliath.
Absolutely, it is.
Although you would point out that a lot of these guys on Auburn weren't everybody's idea of right. like coming out of high school or even first entering the transfer portal. They weren't necessarily everybody's idea of superstars of the players that were going to be the nucleus number one
Tahad
team.
Tahad is by far the most highly touted player that Auburn had coming out of high school.
Right, and I guess Kentucky, it's more like the Calipari teams had freshmen that were made up of guys that were
McDonald's, like, All-Americans all over the roster.
Yeah, this Calipari team is like, or this Kentucky team is, post-Calipari, like Mark Pope's gone out and assembled a team that's probably more experienced and older mm-hmm. than Auburn. But it's, yeah, I mean, to watch that team of, high-major all-stars and guys that have been playing a lot of college basketball against sort of a plucky upstart, not picked to win the Sun Belt Troy team. I think that's going to be sort of a classic NCAA first round kind of matchup.
And those are the ones where we have through the years seen upset after upset in games like that.
Are you with me on thinking Kentucky's?
I think there's a chance.
A vulnerable team to get in the first couple of rounds of the NCAA.
But Kentucky's also a team that might just up and roll.
Yeah,
for a few games.
There's a chance of Kentucky Texas in round two. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. If that Texas would have to win two games, but Texas is in that pod where if they beat Xavier in tomorrow night's play-in round, and then they beat Illinois in the round of 64, and I think those are both on the table for Texas. They could be playing the winner of Kentucky and Troy for a trip to the Sweet 16, and that's pretty good for a Texas team that looked like they were dead and buried.
6-12 in the SEC, and looked like they were the first team out is what Lenardi had them. First team out, and they lost.
They might win.
They're in.
They won six SEC games in 2 months. They might win three games between now
less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, between now and the start of the Sweet 16.
That's right.
In 5 days, they might go ahead and win three games and punch their ticket to be one of the last 16 teams standing.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side, so stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and Dan's got some... We watch a little retro as we're just minutes away from the first games of this year's NCAA tournament. And we're pleased to be joined, as we usually are at this time on Tuesdays, by our good friend from Crane & Company, and that's Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. Feels great to be the number one overall seed. Never said that before.
Well, no. I mean, not unless you were, I mean, of course, if you claimed you were like Carolina or a Duke or
UCLA. Yeah,
but there are a few schools.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times.
Yeah, Dan has.
But you're right. This for a program that talks about.
Hold on, Dan. You're from Niceville, Florida. It's true. Have you ever claimed the number one overall seed before?
I happen to be a UCLA Bruin, my friend. Don't forget, I've got degrees from both schools.
Oh, that is true. I stand correct.
There you go.
Those John Wooden.
How many times since you got those degrees has UCLA been the number one seed?
Ooh, Dave? I think they've been A1, right?
A1. A couple.
And we had a couple of A. There were two straight years where there was a direct connection between a program admitting Dan Peck and then making the Final Four in some period right after, right? between Auburn and UCLA. And we'll see if that holds. We'll see which one. And now you got Troy in the tournament as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of storylines on that front.
Rumor has it it's because of you, Dan.
We can talk Auburn and sort of the outlook for Auburn in this region, Jake. But I would love to sort of go bigger picture, right? As sort of like your initial impressions, if you can separate like the Auburn of it all, like your initial impressions of the bracket.
Well, look, I mean, outside of the absolute travesty that was North Carolina getting in over West Virginia, and we just dropped our interview with the governor of West Virginia, Pat Morrissey, and what they're trying to do, I thought they did a pretty good job. I mean, Louisville as an 8 seed, you know, we can talk about the ACC and this, that, or the other, but to be honest with you, you know, to separate from Auburn, I thought they did a pretty good job, man. I don't have that many qualms. I think when you look at Florida's region, I personally think it's the deepest region that they're in. But overall, outside of the North Carolina and West Virginia jobbing, I thought they did a pretty good job.
Well, one of the things we talked about a little bit yesterday is you mentioned Louisville. It is very hard to explain. It would be really hard for the committee to explain how Carolina got in, yet Louisville's an 8.
Yeah,
because if you're gonna say Louisville's an 8 because the ACC's no good, then there's no way that Carolina should be in.
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, when you look at the justification that was attempted on North Carolina getting in, it just contradicts itself. I will say this. After seeing North Carolina get in and Louisville get an 8 seed, I've never felt better about the College Football Playoff Selection Committee than I do right now.
Right, because they at least – and it's a slightly easier challenge deciding – who gets in at the you have different data to work with, but there's just
you do, but at the end of the day, I'd be willing to, and I think most of the audience and you guys would probably agree with me. I think North Carolina getting into a tournament that has 68 teams is way more egregious than anything I have ever seen, including Florida State and undefeated Florida State not getting in because of the Jordan Travis injury. To me, what the College Basketball Selection Committee did, where North Carolina's athletic director is the head of the selection committee and gets a $100,000 bonus. Can you just imagine for a second if, you know, in football, somebody got in because their athletic director was the head of the selection committee and got a $100,000 bonus?
The optics of the bonus are terrible. And in hindsight, I think Carolina should have guaranteed him that money regardless of whether or not they make the tournament, so that there's no appearance of anything like that happening. But it's funny you mentioned the playoff committee, because I do think, like, remember the belief that Alabama was going to get in because of the brand, right? Like, oh, they're going to take Alabama instead of SMU?
SMU.
Yeah, they're going to take Alabama instead of SMU because of the brand. It's like, it feels like they made the exact opposite decision with the college football with the tournament committee, and to take Carolina over West Virginia.
Right. Yeah, they did.
Well,
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and the other thing that we were looking at is North Carolina now has, they don't even have the hardship that the winner of the Alabama State-St. Francis game does of turning around and playing early on Thursday. The Carolina-San Diego State winner doesn't play until Friday.
No, they don't. But I will say this. I think Ole Miss beats either one of them. And that's just because of the respect I have for Chris Beard and Ole Miss. But there's a fact that I learned today that I did not know. Do you know the two most, and I use underdog as a term loosely here, the two teams that have the longest odds that have ever made the NCAA tournament was New Mexico, back when we used to go by the RPI, and North Carolina this year? Do you know what those two teams have in common? Their athletic directors were both the head of the selection
on the
committee.
Yeah.
Not just on.
Terrible.
Wow. What an unbelievable! It's like Halliburton getting a bid in Iraq. What a coincidence!
What do you do with the committee? Because avoiding conflicts of interest is going to be tough if you have people affiliated with schools or conferences. But at the same time, things like this can happen.
Well, you know, Dan, and I've talked about this with the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. I think there is a difference between a current employee of an academic institution, i.e. an athletic director, an assistant athletic director, obviously a coach, as opposed to somebody that's working for a network that, you know, like ESPN with the SEC. In a perfect world, I would love for that committee to consist of people that have no connection to a university at the time. Not that they didn't play there, or they coached there, or that they were an AD there, but at the time are not employed by that university, and or not employed by a certain network that has a financial affiliation with that conference, right? Like, you know, ESPN and the SEC or the ACC or Fox and the Big Ten. I know, you know, that's like a utopian view of it, obviously, but I would rather have people that are not affiliated with a university or employed by a university. I would be fine with saying, you know what? This guy works for ESPN. Yeah, he may have played here, but he's not currently employed by this institution, because therefore you don't get a benefit from it. I think to Bill's point, the worst look in all of this is not that Bubba Cunningham, the AD at North Carolina, is just the head of the selection committee. That looks bad. But there was a monetary financial gain from what the committee chose to do with North Carolina of over six figures, or really any figure in general, because they made the tournament. That just reeks of corruption. And to me, I think we have to get rid of that. And that's what Governor Morrissey said today. That's all they're asking for.
Well, the thing is, it's difficult. You'd have to be looking at the possibility of changing the committee on the fly if you're doing that.
Let Watson do it. Just have retired
folks,
retired conference
there.
Commissioners, or something.
Yes, that would make more sense to me.
Well, like nobody had a problem with Barry Alvarez being on the committee, right? The retired AD of Wisconsin. If you're involved in the playoff selection committee, you probably either played or coached or athletically directed something. Like they're not gonna bring somebody that works at the 7-Eleven.
No, you'd like somebody you think that might have a clue about the game, the sport.
Yeah, but to me, like, why not have, you know, put Jay Billis on there, right? Put some of these other guys on here that you know watch basketball and care about the sport overall.
How about the bracketologists themselves?
That'd be amazing, because I've never seen anybody disappear after the bracket gets revealed faster than Joe Lunardi.
Everybody had West Virginia and nobody had North Carolina.
Dan, the governor made this is a crazy. Think about this: 111 out of 111 bracketologists had West Virginia in the field.
Yep,
27 of 111 bracketologists had North Carolina in the field. That is insane.
Yeah, no. I mean, we were blindsided on Sunday night with the reveal. Hey, looking at the bracket that we have, is there a double digit seed or two that you feel really strongly about making some noise?
Well, you know, I feel bad about talking about Colorado State as the 12 seed, because if you look at the sports books, guys, they're the favorite. Over Memphis.
Yeah, that's a good coach. I think he's maybe the next coach at Minnesota.
Well, yeah, true. And if you see the Clifford kid that they have at guard, I mean, he's an NBA player. I mean, he's averaging about 25 points a game. The two spreads that jumped out to me the most were that one and then that Michigan, and this involves Auburn, obviously. Michigan is only a 2.5-point favorite
over UC
San Diego. Mm-hmm. But if there's a
– John Fanta thinks UC San Diego can beat Auburn.
Well, I don't think John Fanta can dribble a basketball up and down a court, to be honest.
I like John.
I think he's great for the sport. And I will give him credit. He picked Yale over Auburn last year. But if you think UC sees, and I hope Auburn plays UC San Diego, please let Auburn play UC San Diego in the Sweet 16 at the end of the day. But I'm more worried about A&M, to be honest with you. But as far as it goes, you know, as far as looking at higher seeds that I think could pull off that big upset, you know, to me, it's typically the seeds that people aren't talking about the most that do it, because the teams that hear they're going to get upset all week, they get up for that game.
I look at
High Point versus Purdue.
Yeah.
Because when I look at Purdue, this isn't – they don't have that thing down there anymore that's just bigger than everybody, right? I mean, this Purdue team, I like Braden Smith. I like Lawyer. I think Kaufman Wren is a really good post player. Mm-hmm. But they are one of the worst teams in the country when it comes to giving up two-pointers. And High Point is top five in the country in scoring the two-pointer. And I think the pace that High Point plays at, kind of that up-and-down pace, while it's not going to kill Purdue, if Kaufman Wren isn't playing at an elite level, I think this game can be close to the end. So I like a 13. The 13-4 is the new 12-5.
You're absolutely right.
Like
it really
High
has
Point
been.
Over Purdue.
Yep.
I like High Point over Purdue.
Hey, you're not alone there in High Point. I mean, I've seen some people that like them going to the Sweet 16, knocking off Clemson as well.
Man, Clemson, and listen, I know they have the injury to one of the Hunter brothers, but when you look at this Clemson team, these guys have done this before. I think Clemson's a problem for Houston. Not that I think Houston's going to lose to Clemson. I think Houston's going to lose to Tennessee, and Tennessee's going to go to the Final Four. But I really like this Clemson team. I like Shefflin. I like what they have at guard. I like their experience. I like their toughness. But, guys, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the bracket, and, you know, it's funny. I try and go out there and be like, all right, you know, upsets are going to happen this, that, and the other, but I keep coming back to looking at this bracket and feeling like once you get to the Sweet 16 and beyond, it's going to be pretty chalky. Mm.
No, I think it feels like, you know, even with some fours and 13s, like when you work your way down, a lot of these double digit seeds have the potential to make noise early. Tough to figure one out who feels like it, you know, they're going to make a lengthier run. Ones, twos, threes, and fours, I would understand people advancing them pretty deep in this field.
Yeah, so that leads to who is the highest seed that you feel could be in peril?
You know, looking at the whole bracket, guys, I'm not, you know, take the ones out of it, in obviously including Auburn. I'm looking at the two seeds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see any two seed going down. I go to the three seed line. I really don't. You know, I know Iowa State has the injury.
Well, stay on the two seed line for a sec, Jake. You think if Arkansas beats Kansas, you think they could give St. John's a game?
I think they could because, yeah, you know, you look offensively at St. John's, and Rick Pitino's talked about this. To me, St. John's is basically Texas A&M. That's who they are. And what I find interesting, and this is where me and my brother disagree, you know, and I know that styles make fights, but when you look at the SEC compared to the Big East, this is why I'm not as worried about Creighton as some Auburn fans are. I'm not as high on St. John's as some Auburn fans are. I'll tell you right now, I think New Mexico is going to beat Marquette. Mm. If you haven't watched Donovan Dent yet and you don't see what they have down low, you know, everybody talked, including myself, about New Mexico last year with all these NBA players' kids. But Donovan Dent, I think, is an NBA player. So I'm not as sold on the Big East as everybody else. But, guys, you know, Adu Sierra being out for Arkansas in this game against Kansas, I think presents a huge problem for Arkansas. I know everybody's hot on picking Arkansas over Kansas. I wouldn't be shocked if they won. But I don't trust Jonas Adu against a big guy that's worth his salt if you just look at his history.
It is such a fun time. It is great. There will be a shocker or two. There always is early on, and you just can't wait for the all day starting at 11 noon Eastern until midnight Thursday and Friday, and it just feels like that's great all through the weekend. Jake's great when we have a chance to talk with you, especially at a time like this. Let everybody know what you got going on at Crane & Company.
Yeah. Well, look, we're easy to find. Go to Google. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. And just real quickly, can I say something about Auburn just to the Auburn fans out there? We can't go into this tournament scared, all right? Everybody out there that's worried about Louisville playing in Rupp or this, that, and the other, we are the number one overall seed. Mm-hmm. I'm not going into this tournament scared. We need to go into this tournament confident. We need to go in this tournament ready to go. I don't care if it's Michigan or A&M or UC San Diego in the Sweet 16. I don't care if it's Louisville or Creighton in the second round. I got a really, really good feeling about Auburn. We need to go in there understanding we are the big dog. Mm-hmm. We are the one that knocks. They need to go in there and handle business, and I think they will.
Great stuff, Jake. Appreciate it. Enjoy, watching and talking about everything going on this week and the rest of the week, and we can't wait to talk to you next time.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the madness.
Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. Need to get to our final break of the show. Stick with us here on The Drive.
You can help others in your community.